Thank you for tuning in to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please subscribe to our weekly Boston Bruins Hockey Talk on listening platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, and Spotify Podcasts. We'd certainly appreciate it if you give our show a five-star rating along with a written review. You can also subscribe to our official YouTube channel for a video version of our weekly program. If you'd like to support our show financially, please go to our blackandgoldhockey.com website and click on our affiliated Fanatics banner before shopping online. Another way to financially support our weekly program is to become a Patreon member to be eligible for weekly Boston hockey prizes and monthly Boston Bruins hand-signed jersey giveaways. Please go to patreon.com/blackandgoldhockeypodcast and donate just $1 per episode. Many thanks for the continued support and enjoy the show. Hey, everybody, welcome to episode 339 of the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. It's brought to you by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Right now, you can sign on to FanDuel.com/Boston because right now, new customers are getting a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. And if you want to interact with our show's hosts, myself, Mr. Mark Allred, and Ms. Grace Roberts down below, feel free to send us a voicemail. Or a direct message. Our voicemail line, as you can see pulled up on the screen, 978-504-2727. We love to hear from you. Again, direct messages as well on Twitter you can use the hashtag AskBNG. We'll pull those up. I know we have at least one or two for today's show. Looking forward to getting to that. And also, you can subscribe to our official Black and Gold Hockey Podcast YouTube channel for more Boston Bruins news from the NHL level all the way down to the prospects all around the world. Please hit that subscribe button and the notifications bell. You'll get notified as soon as we post more content. Everything comes out every day. We got new stuff all the time. Before we get started with the show, I want to ask my co-hosts, Mark, Grace, how are you today?
Grace, go first. You're the lady of the show.
I'm doing very well. I'm excited to be back. I feel like I haven't been on in forever after my alarm didn't go off. Was that last week? I was freaking out, but I'm happy to be here now. I set several alarms this morning, but I'm doing well. I'm excited to be here. I've been the grateful one that I'm down in Florida, even though it's been hot. The weather that y'all have been having up north has been insane. So I hope everybody is staying safe and is hopefully it's on its way out. I cannot even imagine. I feel like it rains so much here and up there it shouldn't. And it's crazy, but I'm doing well. Been very hot down here lately, but I'm excited to get talking Bruins and hopefully we have a good little show here. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks, man. Long time. I am doing good. Went to a celebration of life for somebody I absolutely respected in his career as a teacher and also as a hockey player and an absolute legend here in Amesbury. So this episode is kind of dedicated to Leo Dupree, and here's a picture of Leo with his retired Amesbury jersey. He passed away in 2020 in July, and they had the celebration of life yesterday because getting everybody together during the COVID pandemic was kind of hard to do, but Shout out to the Dupree family and Steve Klein and his sister Nancy and everybody else that volunteered to put this whole thing on. It was just a really good turnout and great stories. Leo was a great high school hockey player here in town. He played for the semi-pro Amesbury Maples. And then he went on to have an outstanding career at Northeastern University, where he got a scoring title. You know, a kid from Amesbury just making it happen in the hockey world. So it was a great time to get together with people that I've never met and some folks that I have seen in the past and so on. It was kind of like a bit of a high school reunion a little bit. So, but I just wanted to, you know, give the Dupree family a shout out because it was just a tremendous day. And that's the reason why I'm absolutely freaking hung cheese today. I am so, so hungover. But it was all worth it to be with good people and talk about just an absolute legend.
Well, hopefully we can help you power through that today with some... We got a solid agenda, you know, count it. We got probably 9-10 items to go over today. So we should be able to get through, hopefully pull you through this next hour of Bruins Hockey Talk. And I'm looking over this. I think the best place for us to start, I just found out about this last night. It was like 10:30, 11 o'clock. I saw it come across Twitter. I actually have to credit Andrew from Short Shift because he tweeted something that I saw and I went to it and I was like, wait a minute. I think it was the New York Post's article.
Yep.
That was Larry Brooks, I think, was the writer, if I remember correctly. Apparently, the Boston Bruins and Mitchell Miller, the name we don't say around here, they came to a settlement back in February to get him off of this team. And first of all, I'm glad it's over, but that was 5 months ago, and we're just now hearing about it. Nobody knew. First of all, Grace, did you see that? And Mark, did you see that? And what were your thoughts when you saw that it's over?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, they say, at least in the New York Post article, you're right, it was Larry Brooks mentioned that it was, there was an imposition of confidentiality when it was made. So I guess that sort of explains why we didn't hear about it. I guess also, I don't know, I'm sort of sitting here like, would it have made it better if we had heard about it right after it happened? Would it have sort of dredged up what I think was this huge cloud that had really disrupted the season? I mean, remember, the Bruins got their first loss when it happened. Everybody was, I think, reasonably very upset about it. So I don't know, I'm almost like, I can't believe it took this long, even, you know, with any confidentiality agreements that were in place. But it was strange. You're right. I just saw it. I couldn't believe, like, the New York Post is popping up on my timeline. I'm like, why is that? I should only be seeing, like, hockey stuff strictly. And, well, that's when I was like, wait, they're talking about our team. They're talking about us. And it was sort of an unexpected thing. I mean, you know, I think he'll probably go and try and play in Europe, but I'm glad that he's not on our team anymore, and I'm glad to know how things were resolved now, because I feel like there was all these questions about it. You know, why is he still on the team? Why haven't we cut ties? Even though he was listed on, you know, like cap friendly and everything like that, like he was still around. So I was also surprised when it popped up on my timeline. I was like, felt like a weird time for it to suddenly appear on, you know, July 22nd, all these months later.
Unfortunate signing in November, and in my opinion, just improperly vetted, to be honest with you. I just don't think that they really did the due diligence on that one. The kid might be a great hockey player, but when you have a culture of a good character, that's just something that was just a real bad blemish. And yeah, there's probably a no disclosure agreement, you know, just to not saying anything, and it probably benefited both sides at that particular juncture. And you're right, Grace, why bring that up at the tail end of a historic season when you're about to go into the playoffs, and we all know what happened in those playoffs, but still, that's just something you don't want to go on a record-breaking NHL season and just kind of, you know, restir the shit, you know, that was stirred up in which started in November, I'm sorry. But, yeah, it's just something to, I don't know. You know what the worst part about it is? When you go on Puckpedia and go on freaking Cap Friendly and you're just doing your due diligence to, you know, write articles and get information, it was just so annoying to still see that name there all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just 100%. Come on. But anyway, it seems like it's over. Hopefully, it's over. You know, and it's time to move on. But you know, in situations like this, you gotta do better. You do have to do better when you're not only when you're trying to look for talent to create depth and so on, but you also gotta, you know, use the internet a little bit.
Right, right.
Do a web search and just say, is this exactly what we need when we have such a great culture?
I think that's the biggest shock about it because, I mean, on the ice, if you strictly look at numbers and on-ice performance and all that stuff, it was a great signing. It was a steal. But right. We know why.
Yeah.
And all it takes is a quick Google search. That's it. You don't even have to click into articles. You will see what happened, and you sit there and go, do we really want to do this? Probably not. But they did it, and I just think back and I go, what else was going on in February? Like, it makes a lot of sense that they'd want to keep it under the wire, and also kind of what it could have become, because you're talking NHLPA grievances, you're talking about waivers for termination, and all this stuff that keeps going public. And every time you do that, you're pulling on the plunger, trying to take more shit out. It's just like, you know what, let's just let it go away. And I'm glad it has. I'm just surprised, to your point, Grace, it's been 5 months. The media, I don't want to say shame on them, but like, what's gone on? How did you not, like, how did not one person stick a mic in someone's face and go, what's going on with this kid? Why is he still here? And what was the answer if they did? Because clearly it was enough where they just kind of looked at him and went, we don't talk about that. Maybe we should. But yeah, it's over. It's done with. We can all officially move on to 2023 with that kid.
Yeah, here's the cap-friendly tweet. Per Brooksy, the Bruins have terminated Mitchell Miller's contract. As his piece mentions, Miller was not placed on waivers. Rather, both parties reached a settlement. Hashtag cap-friendly has learned that Miller has been officially removed from the Boston reserve list at the end of April.
And for those who play around on Cap Friendly, there was a penalty if you tried to buy him out. So that's why the settlement part is so important, because now it gives them just a little bit more wiggle room under the cap to do something like, I don't know, sign back Patrice Bergeron maybe?
And
it opens up a contract spot for that too. You only get 50 of those, and he was taking one of them up. So, you know, it does make a little bit of sense as to how they work their roster slots. But speaking of Bergeron, last year he signed first week of August. It's right around the corner. Our buddy Dom Tiano has sent out a tweet that has gone around and caught fire of Bergeron working out heavily in Boston. I know he commented on our What's Bruin show last week. You're not really doing that if you're not looking to come back, not with a new baby at home. So is there fire to this smoke? Do you think we got something brewing with Bergeron and Krejci making announcements soon?
Still, I think on the fence. I think we've all said this. Bergeron, I feel a little bit more confident about than I do Krejci. You're right. That, you know, tweet from Dom, I'm, you know, sitting here like trying to not get my hopes up and trying to be like, maybe he's just really stressed out with the baby. Maybe he's just working out really hard. But I don't know. I mean, I think that I honestly expected it a lot sooner. If you had asked me, you know, when we got out of the playoffs, I kind of was anticipating, and I forget if it was he or Krejci made it sound like they were going to announce it sooner than they had. And maybe, you know, I think we all are sort of in agreement. The decision was probably made, has already been made. You know, he's not sitting at home still thinking about it. Like, I think he's known and what he's going to do. Obviously, you want it sooner rather than later because we're all anxious and we want answers. But I think it's imminent. I don't know. Maybe by next week will we be talking about his return or Krejci's return? Maybe. I don't know. I think that there's a good chance, but I'm definitely nervous, definitely worried about, are we going to put too much pressure on, all right, we didn't think we were going to have a historic season last season, and then we did. I think that Bergeron comes with high expectations anyway, so I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens, how he announces it, how it comes out. I'm hoping it's sooner rather than later because I'm stressed out. And Mark knows that, that I never stress about anything ever. I'm very calm and collected all the time.
You got to check your Twitter timeline, girl. Oh, boy. I got to tell you, your Twitter interactions are just, it's hilarious, actually. It keeps me running. Like my 9:30 break at work, I'm just like, all of a sudden I go up and you're already on fire. I'm like, oh, boy. The Bergeron thing for me is, you know, Don Sweeney mentioned in one of his end of season press conferences or most recently, I think it was development camp and so on, that, you know, the organization's got to move forward. You know, they have to properly do things in an order because now Bergeron is in a case of emergency kind of situation that we need to spend the money. We need to get all these free agents, but they're not going to just hold on to $1 million or $2 for his $1 million or $2 million for his decision. What they'll do is when he decides, they'll adjust the roster from there, which will probably most likely be some players sent down. Who knows? Just to relieve some of that cap. But I'm not, Grace, I'm not saying that you're freaking out, but there's a lot of people out there that are frustrated. Like, why hasn't this guy decided if he wants to play or not? You know, it's not an easy situation. I've never been a pro hockey player at all, but I would imagine it's not easy for the Bergeron family itself because Patrice still has something to give. He won a Selke trophy. He's probably going to have it renamed after his name. But I'm not in any rush to have him, but I would like to, for everybody's sake, including Grace, is to have him signed and say something that, hey, I'm coming back, and what you saw or what you heard from Dom on the tweet was absolutely correct. I am working my ass off for my, you know, the centennial, which is possibly my final season.
Yeah, I mean, I would say credit to him, credit to the organization for, you know, I mean, I guess kind of stringing us along the way they have, because I'm sure they've been in talks. They have a general idea of how he's feeling, you know, and to Dom's point, you're not working out heavily when you just had a child if you're not at least giving consideration. Now, this may be I'm going to stay in shape. Let me see how I feel come August 14th, and I'll give you a definitive on day X, whatever it is. First and foremost, the guy's earned the right to do whatever the fuck he wants. Leave him alone, first and foremost. I mean, he's been with the team now for what? This would be his 20th season if he plays. So think about how you feel doing your job for 20 years and then now all of a sudden have not anybody you work with, not anybody that you've ever met sit there and go, you got to decide whether you want to retire right now or not. Right. Like, what? Yeah. No. I'd be sitting there going, fuck off. Let me figure this out with my family. Let me figure this out with my colleagues. I mean, you know, personally, I think he wants to come back. I think he's torn between should I come back? And that should being, how is my health? Can I handle doing it? Because Bergeron's not the kind of guy. He's not going to come back in December and be like, all right, ramp me up for the playoffs now.
Right.
He's going to come in from day one. He's going to put the team on his shoulders and say, this is, you get all of Patrice Bergeron and all of Boston Bruins puts their weight on my shoulders, or you get none of it. And I think that's the part that he's trying to weigh right now. So, yeah, I think he's trying to stay in shape so that he can do it. It's just a matter of, does he want to go through it one more time? I think part of him does, because centennial season, you know, Lucic is coming back, like, fun. I mean, last year they had the most fun I think they've ever fucking had. Yeah. Ever. And mm-hmm. and you saw it in the locker room, and I think that tugs at him to sit there and go, I want to do this one more time. And then you get to the end of the season and you have that heartbreak and you sit there and you go, was it really worth it? Now he's taking some time, he's seeing his family, and he's got that bug in his ear of, you know, you're one of 32 teams. You might not get another cup. Is that worth it? And he just has to weigh that decision out. And you know, I think he ultimately does end up coming back. I think we'll have some bonus overages again for next season because of it. But you know what? I'm okay with that. And if it comes down to the wire and he says, I can't give it my all, then you have to respect that too. But who the fuck am I to tell him what to do?
Mm-hmm. Right.
100%.
You know, and quite frankly, if I'm Sweeney, I'm leaving 850, 900K to work with just to give him a slot and just say, listen, this is all I got for salary, but we're going to pump the fuck out of your bonuses here. Oh, 5 goals, here's an extra million. 10 goals, here's another million. Like, you, right. I don't care. Next year, you have $4 million supposedly to work with the cap by itself. Use all that for him.
Yep.
And figure it out for next year. Because this year with him, you have a legitimate chance still. You did your shopping without him, and you're still going to be competitive with or without him.
Yeah. I think that's the key thing about Bergeron in particular is that he is, you know, such a difference maker. He is, you know, not just on the ice, but off the ice. So I think that's why people are putting so much stake in it. But I'm hopeful, but I'm also, you're totally right, what that man has done for the city of Boston. If he wants to retire, he deserves to retire. You know, it's not our place to say whether he should or should not.
Admittedly, I like our lineup a lot better with him in it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Krejci, on the other hand, I'm not sure he's coming back, and I'm not even sure if I would want to entertain a return. I think that he's, like, really on his way out. You know, great career and so on. I'm not knocking the player, you know. Basically, really close to being a point-per-game career. But I just think that, I don't know. I think with all the new additions that we got during this offseason, I just think that those types of players are younger, maybe a little more talented, who knows, but might push him out. 95% for me says that Bergeron's coming back.
Yeah, I'm pretty high on Bergeron coming back. I'm pretty low on Krejci coming back, just as equally low as I am high on Bergeron coming back. I think Krejci kind of went into last year with the mindset of let's give it one last ride.
Right.
I think right now he is really focused on the tournament coming up in Czech that he wants mm-hmm. to play in. I think wearing the Czech crest for him right now feels a little bit more important, and that's okay. You know, you mentioned it, Mark, 786 points over 1,032 games. He got the 1,000 game mark. You know, he's got a cup under his belt. You know, he was never going to be a league MVP. You know, he was never going to be, a Conn Smythe winner, although he pushed for it. His playoff numbers pushed for it for sure. Mm-hmm. But he played for 16 seasons. He's had a hell of a career. Some would argue that his number belongs up in the rafters. That's a different debate. We can have that in a week or two when there's less to talk about. But, you know, the point is he was that good. He helped this team get a cup, and he should be appreciated. But, again, if he wants to come back, I don't know where you can find a spot for him. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I don't see it happening. And I think based off of the signings that we have, I don't think Sweeney was banking on it or counting on it or even really giving it a high amount of consideration simply because, you know, I mean, why else would you have extended Zacha last year looking towards him to be a 2C going forward? You know, it just, yeah. And I think, honestly, the Jesper Boqvist signing really kind of put a cover on the fact that Krejci ain't coming back, in my opinion.
Insurance policy.
Right.
I like the signing, though, by the way. Where do you guys think Jesper would fit in the lineup? Do you guys have him more in a top six role or a bottom six role? Or kind of what are your thoughts seeing that signing go the way that it did?
I don't know. This was a tough one for me. I mean, it was a great signing. Good player. Change of scenery might, you know, revitalize this guy and, you know, getting him into the culture here. I'm not saying New Jersey was a dumpster fire at all, but you know,
well, it kind of was.
Yeah, it kind of was. Not as bad as Buffalo, but I don't know. It's like I see two sides to this story, to be honest with you. I see the player cracking the lineup, but possibly forcing somebody out. I mean, like, I hate to say this, but Lauko could be on his way down to Providence if Boqvist makes the roster, and Lauko needs to, you know, go down to Providence. Unfortunately, he'll go through that waiver process too. So, because he's outside of that entry level deal. So, it technically, if you play 3 years of minor pro hockey, the following year, it doesn't matter how many NHL games you have. If you're outside of that 3 years, you're automatically going through the waiver process. So,
It's going to be interesting. I think the waiver process is going to come into a huge scenario for when they have to make roster cuts during training camp. And, you know, I also look at this and I wonder if he was more insurance, similar to what some people are saying about Morgan Geeky being replacements for Trent Frederick. Because Trent Frederick and Swayman, they have their arbitration hearings coming up in the end of this week, believe it or not. The 30th and the 1st, I think Frederick is the 30th. Yep. And obviously the Leafs took Ilya Samsonov to arbitration. Yeah. We'll see how that turns out, because they weren't even close. I'd be interested to see what the numbers are filed in the Frederick situation and in the Swayman situation. But that walk away number is 4.5. Anything less than that, you have to keep the player. So, my question to you is, let's first focus on Frederick, because his numbers are the ones that are across the board. I mean, depending on who you listen to, I think Ty Anderson has referenced numbers as low as 1.5 from some people, all the way up to 4, so 4 and change. What's your ideal number for Trent Frederick, and what do you think he'll actually get? Because there's an ideal number, and then there's what he actually might get from arbitration.
I could see Freddie coming in at 1.5, 2 million, and Swayman. I don't know. So I'd like to see Swayman below 4. I think that he's just coming out of his entry level contract, and I understand that he's been really, really good, fan favorite, and so on. But for me, I think he still has more to prove, and I don't think that he's at that 4 million range right now. I would like to see Swayman take a 2-year bridge deal, win a playoff series, you know, if we make it in the next 2 years in the playoffs. Hopefully we do. And then go for the big bank, like the Brinks truck backing up on your front lawn and dumping tons of cash. I think that's the appropriate way to do things, because the cap is going up and so on. So, like, Don Sweeney might be, or the agent in Sweeney might be going down saying, because we're so up against the cap this offseason and we need to be cap compliant by October, why not take a short 2-year deal and, you know, we'll promise you get bank after that term is over.
Right.
But I think by that time, the cap could go up to 90, 95 million? Who knows?
Supposed to be going up 4 and 4 and 5, something like that.
Yeah, so, exactly.
In my dreams. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, yeah.
I was going to say, the other thing to factor in, and this came out with the Samsonov situation, is the team, because the player filed, the team gets to determine whether they want to go for a 1 or a 2-year contract. However, Trent Frederick is only eligible for a 1-year contract because it'll take him till he's 26. Swayman, they can take for 2 years. So I think that changes their approach for each player, but I'm not sure. Would that change things for you, Grace?
I mean, I don't even necessarily think that it would. I think that Mark is right. I think the 2-year deal with Swayman is also just conducive to what the goalie situation is right now. Obviously with Ullmark, you know, now I think pretty solidly staying, you can go back to that goalie tandem that was so successful. I'm not saying it's going to be as successful as it was last season, because last season was insane, but it's still going to be successful because you have two goalies who are both due technically, I think, a top spot on a team. And that's the problem, is that, you know, are we at a place where we're going to pay Swayman that top dog money when we don't really have the room for it, and we already are paying a shit ton of money for another goalie? Like, we've talked about it, that's the amount of money that we would, if we give, you know, Swayman however much, that's a ton to be paying for two goalies. Like, it's already a lot. But I don't know, with Frederick, my bigger concern is, do we see him sort of staying in that same role that he's had? I don't know if we want to call last season a breakout season. It was sort of, I think, pretty in line with his growth and his development. I don't know how high are the expectations for him, and that sort of changes how much I'm willing to pay for him and how much I'm wanting to pay for him. Because I don't know, I don't really, maybe I'm going to get a lot of hate for this. I don't know. I sort of see him plateauing. I do think this might be his ceiling. And I'm not saying it's bad because he's a great player and he's done great things for our team and in the role that he's played. But I don't necessarily know that it gets a lot higher, so I'm not willing to overpay for him. I'm not willing to bank on him having a bigger season than he's already had. You know what I mean?
I think it'll be interesting to see what those numbers come back from. I know we've heard stories in the past about how teams and players have had their relationships torn apart because of arbitration hearings. And, you know, that's one of the things that worries me about Swayman. I think with the Swayman one second, I feel like that one may come down to the wire, but they might get something done. I think part of what holds up getting Swayman done is Frederick, because they can't come to Swayman and say, we'll give you 2.5 when Frederick could cost him as high as 3.8, 3.9, 4. They don't know. And if they're that far apart with Frederick and it's going to come down to an arbiter, you know, what the arbiter says comes down, that's the final ruling. But rumor has it, and obviously we know how reliable rumors are, but rumor has it that they have the ability to pick up the phone and call St. Louis and say, you know, we're willing to deal him to you, which if that's the case, then as soon as you get the number from the arbiter, or at least as soon as you go into the arbitration hearing for Frederick, you can then sit there and flip the switch and go, okay, let's sit down with Swayman. Let's hammer this out. Whatever that number comes back with, we can't control it, but we're going to ship it out anyway. Whether we get a third round pick for it or we get a seventh round pick for it, he's gone. We're going to ship him out if the number's too high for us. If it's what we like, we'll keep him, but we got to move on. And then you have 10 hours to sit down with Swayman and hammer something out. I think they can still get that done. I don't think they're as far apart as they are with Frederick.
Yeah. And I think that I was thinking about this the other day, just like with all the arbitration talk and with Samsonov going to it, you know, me being in law, I've sat in on plenty of arbitrations, obviously not hockey talk related, but I mean, I can easily see how it has and can really disrupt relationships between a team and a player. And it's, so I think it's a slippery slope and it's dangerous in the sense of like, yeah, okay, you might eventually hammer out an agreement once you, if you've hit arbitration, you're at the hearing. You know, at what cost? You know, what are you sacrificing? What trust have you built that could get sacrificed there? So I don't know, I'm interested to see how it plays out. I guess what's y'all's final answer on, are we gonna get either of them before it gets to arbitration? Are either of them gonna get to arbitration?
I actually wanna bring up a hashtag AskBNG from Maria from Watertown. She constantly calls 98.5 and you know, and ask some really interesting questions. But she says, two-part question. Do you think Swayman and Frederick arbitration hearings will take place or deals reach prior? And the second one, what could awards on contracts look like? So I just wanted to make sure that I shout Maria out because she's an awesome person and a loyal supporter of us. So
absolutely. That's what we're going over. And I'm glad that someone out there also was worried about it too.
Yeah, I kind of have a feeling both of them will get done before. It's Don Sweeney has a, since 2015, Don Sweeney has now, I believe this is correct. I think, Chris, I heard this on What's Brewing on Monday that you mentioned. Don Sweeney has not been to an arbitration hearing that went completely full.
I've heard that from multiple sources that Don Sweeney's never taken a player to arbitration.
Right.
Honestly,
so
I think Frederick's his first one.
I think it will
possibly
too. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I also think too that I know everybody likes to do comparables and all this and that. I think having Ilya Samsonov be so far apart from Toronto will actually help Sweeney and Swayman's camp sort something out, because I mean, at the end of the day, that's kind of what you're going to be looking at between the two of them anyway. You're going to be looking at Swayman sitting there going, I want a bridge deal like what Jake Ottinger got, 4x4. Well, we're not going 4 years right now because the cap's going to go up. And I don't think he wants necessarily 4 years because the cap's going to go up. So they would look at it and they go, okay, well, let's do 4x2. Well, we don't want to do four. You're not quite there yet. And, you know, the player's going to go, well, I'm not at 1.5 either. Now you can, you'll have somewhere where, I mean, Ilya Samsonov, when he's on his game, when he's healthy, he's a great goaltender in this league. He's right up there with Jeremy Swayman. If you look at where their numbers fell last year, goals against average, save percentage, they were very, very close. I'm not saying Jeremy Swayman is Ilya Samsonov or vice versa. It just, it brings more to the conversation, brings more context to the negotiation where you can possibly sit there and say, okay, instead of 2x4, let's do 2x6 and put the money this way so you get cash up front. Because a lot of it, too, is this, the player wants money. And if you can ease their mind with cash up front, it helps. So you can structure the deal so that you get a lower AAV for yourself, which you selfishly need. But then the player gets some of the cap. So any more final thoughts on this? I know we have to toss it over to our title sponsors over at FanDuel in a minute here, but I just wanted to give you guys a chance to give any final thoughts on Frederick and Swayman, because they're the next major dominoes to fall, and then we got a couple other topics to get into.
All right. I just hope that something gets done. It doesn't get to that point, you know, where it gets nasty between both sides and so on. Especially Swayman, a young guy, young goalie, real confident and so on. I just don't want to tarnish any of that relationship with the you know, nitpicking back and forth when you're trying to figure out a number and term and so on. So it should be interesting, but hopefully it gets done soon just to ease everybody's minds.
Yeah. I think exactly the same with Swayman. Just what you said, Mark, that I think he has a potential long-term future in Boston as our goalie, and so you just don't want anything to happen there. So I'm hoping no arbitration in either case to the hearing. I mean, I hope we can get it hammered. I hope by next week we're talking only good things. So
yes.
Yeah, we're talking some deals getting signed as opposed to hearings occurring the night before and the day of, actually.
Yeah.
That's the funny part is the next day we're supposed to record would be it would be Swayman's arbitration hearing date. So hopefully we get there. But for right now, let's throw it over to our title sponsors over at FanDuel. And we got some more great Bruins talk when we get back. All right, and welcome back to the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Don't forget to check out our friends over at FanDuel. I can't wait to bet with them more than just baseball. It's getting kind of boring. Football season will be a blessing for betting, but I can't wait for hockey season. Are you betting on golf, Mark?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm watching golf right now. The Open's on right now, and I got action on all, like, the top five that I'm looking. Harm, Straka, yeah. Rahm, Fleetwood, Young, Homa. Got them all. So if anybody wins in the top five, cha-ching, cash
there
money.
There you go. Grace, you betting on anything down there in Florida or just the weather?
Yeah, just the weather, honestly. Yeah. No, unfortunately, not a lot of betting opportunities down here, but I am excited. I've been talking to my brother about it because he's a big betting guy. So a lot of baseball. But other than that, I'm excited for sports that I feel more confident about betting on to come back. Because baseball, I'm putting the money in and I'm just, it's, I'm using it to give me extra motivation to actually watch the baseball game rather than me actually believing it's going to hit. But yeah, always wonderful. I'm so glad that we have FanDuel to support our exciting betting adventures.
I will say Andrew and I are going to dig into some of those future bets for teams as we go through on Puck Off. We're going to do deep dives into each team and, you know, we'll take a look at what some of their odds are. I mean, as simple as will they make the playoffs or not? Those are fun questions to dig into. Long play bets there. But right now we have a great question that was brought up when it comes to the Bruins roster. And it was, the question was posed, do you see us getting to game one of the regular season without shedding at least one more, I'll put air quotes around major player in the sense of dollar amount. Frederick, Swayman, Forbort, Grizzlick. And honestly, a recent name that keeps coming up that I want to dig into more is Jake DeBrusk. Do you see any of those five guys getting dealt before the regular season begins?
I don't know. I'm still baffled by the Forbort situation.
Why
he wasn't bought out at the appropriate time when you could buy him out. This next buyout window, if he can't be bought out, if I'm not mistaken, because of the dollar amount. Is that correct, Chris?
$4 million or more, yeah.
Yeah, so that whole situation I don't understand because, you know, you have the depth if you need it, you know. I mean, I'm not saying that Mason Lowry should be that seventh or eighth defenseman and hardly get any time because his development would benefit from playing often down in Providence. So,
right.
I mean, I could see why they want to keep a player like Forbort around for that depth reason, but, I mean, pretty much last year for me was kind of, I don't know, blah. You know, it's like, why would we want to keep him on and also keep that $3 million that is so critical right now to, you know, be compliant and so on and have a little extra space for a Bergeron return. I mean, if they wanted to, I think that Grizzlick could possibly be attempt to throw out to the league and say he's available to shed $3 million. I just don't see the value in Forbort right now in any team like, you know, knocking on Don Sweeney's door saying, hey, I need this guy. So, I don't know if another move's going to happen. I really doubt that there's anything to the Jake DeBrusk trade rumors. I don't know, we'll see what happens, but I don't see it. I think Jake DeBrusk had a career year last year, and I think the Bruins want to see what they have in him this upcoming season, and to be honest with you, if he flops, he could be a player that we move at the trade deadline this upcoming season. You know, he's going to have a little bit of a negotiation term with another team that he might be able to go to and then figure out, you know, his situation there. But if he has an outstanding season and the Bruins continue to believe in him and so on, I could see him getting an extra, possibly a 4-year deal after that. But it all depends on him and how he produces this upcoming season.
Yeah, I think Jake DeBrusk is pretty, as of right now, penciled in next to Charlie Coyle. And I want to see what that looks like because, yeah, Charlie Coyle looked really good with Taylor Hall and with Trent Frederick last season. But if you look at Jake DeBrusk's game, he's more of, and this is going to sound way higher thought than I think of him, but he's kind of a mix between those guys. He can play the physical style game that Trent Frederick brought, but he's a better finisher than Frederick, kind of like Taylor Hall. So he's he's more of a hybrid style. I want to see what that looks like. I'm not excited to just trade off DeBrusk for cap dump or anything like that. And with the cap going up, I do think you can get him back at a fairly reasonable deal. I want to see what he looks like without Bergeron. And I feel like that might be a little selfish to say, but he drove that line a lot last year. So I'm happy to see that. I want to see, is that motivation because of who's on the line? He feels like he has to bring it so that they don't have to, or is that just what he's turning into? If it's what it's turning into, him and Charlie Coyle can be really good for a couple of years. And I wouldn't want to move on from that. The one that I think is as interesting as you said, Mark, is Derek Forbort. I think what they're looking at Forbort as is they have other options to get rid of him. I really feel like if they come into camp and a lot of the young players are just kind of non-exciting, meh, they know what they have in Forbort. They can roll him out there. He's consistent. He's more than you want to spend, but it's a commodity that you know. At the end of the day, though, if they try, they can put them on waivers. And one of two things happens. Someone else says, thank you, we'll take that. And that $3 million is off your books. And that's your best case scenario. I think at this point, you don't even try to negotiate for a bag of pucks. You just say, take him off our books and give us our money back. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Or he clears and you get about half his money back. Neither one's a bad scenario, but I think having him in the locker room also will help guys like Ian Mitchell, Jakob Zboril, you know, even Mason Lorai, you know, just being in the locker room, seeing how he prepares, knowing that, hey, you know what? My job might actually be on the line. That can motivate them to say, I'm going to take your job. Your job is on the line, and I'm the one who's going to take it from you. It looks bad on paper because of the $3 million mark, but I think they're looking at it in terms of worst-case scenario, we'll just put them on waivers.
Yeah, so I guess I want to sort of touch on the DeBrusk thing. I know I said boredom when Mark was talking about it, and I do think that's part of it. My other of this twofold reason why I think he has suddenly been brought up and honestly continues to be brought up, I think a lot of it stems back to, you know, what we saw and heard last season and the season before with him and I guess primarily Bruce Cassidy, but sort of this idea that he's not, there's always in the back of our minds that he's not a career Bruin. Like he is one of these days, he's going to be on his way out the door. We're just waiting for that to happen. So I think that's the other reason why his name comes up. And I don't know. I don't necessarily think that that's fair or true. I think we've seen sort of a development of character, and you know, I'm not saying that he's going to be a Bruin for the rest of his career, but at the very least, I agree. I think that he's one. I know I said it about Frederick that I thought maybe he had plateaued. I don't necessarily know that that's true with Jake DeBrusk. I don't know that he's hit his ceiling yet, especially, you're right, when he doesn't have Bergeron. Can he, you know, shoulder a burden that is greater than what he already has? I think he could, and I think that there's a great opportunity. I think he's happy being a Bruin. I think he wants to be here, and I think he's shown that he can commit to that role that he is playing on a top line. With Forbert, you know, we've talked about it so much and we can do it till we're blue in the face. I don't get it. Does Don Sweeney have something cooking about it? Why he's still, he wasn't bought out. Now we're sort of at the point where we're all just sitting and waiting. What, do we see him playing a big role like next season? Like, no. But, you know, when I pose this question about, you know, are we going to see something else drop, another, you know, the other shoe drop on one of these players? You know, I don't know. I do think that Grizzlick is a valuable piece to be dealt. I think there are teams that would want, you're right, I don't think anybody's banging on, you know, knocking down Sweeney's door with desperation for either Forbert or Grizzlick. But I mean, Grizzlick's a young, very valuable player, especially when it comes to, you know, offensive production from a D-man. I think that it's there are people who want him and teams that will really want him. So maybe he is going to be somebody valuable, but I don't know. Maybe this is all we've shed. Maybe we've shed all we're going to shed, and now we're going to just go into the season with what we're working with. But I don't know. I'm interested to see how it plays out, or if we lose another, you know, quote unquote, like you said, Chris, you know, big player. I don't know.
Well, one other thing too about Jake DeBrusk being brought up, that shows one, other teams want him, and two, mm-hmm. his name should be coming up because yes, he's at the end of his contract. He's in the final year. And if his name is not at least being mentioned, Don Sweeney's not doing his job.
Right.
So that doesn't mean a deal is imminent. It just means that if someone calls him and they say, what are you looking for Jake DeBrusk? There's a conversation.
Right.
And maybe it's ridiculous. Maybe it's ridiculously high, as it should be. Doing due diligence.
Yeah. I do want to add that if Jake DeBrusk is moved, it's not going to be for salary cap, you know, savings. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
that a play. I think like it's not going to be like a Taylor Hall situation. I think right. a player like Jake DeBrusk is going to garner something back, whether it be yeah. a draft capital or a player, you know. But
for a while, the name Peugeot from New York was being thrown around out there, and that's just too low of a return. Which
that's boredom, Grace. Right. That's boredom.
Right, that's armchair general managing from your side. Like
that's off-season clicks.
Yeah, that is somebody wanted to get us riled up. Like, here's something to get excited about. Look right. at this terrible deal that I'm going to propose.
Damn you, Stefan Rosen.
Yeah, right.
That being said, though, I don't think you're sniffing up the wrong tree looking for a center. You know, right. I obviously over the last few weeks, we've heard other centers' names be thrown out there. Quinton Byfield, Shane Wright, some of the younger guys, Elias Pettersson, you know, Jake DeBrusk's name being involved in a deal for one of those guys, it would be legitimate. And that's something that I wouldn't necessarily be against, but that's not what we're hearing. So let's kind of put that to bed because, you know, you would, if you're the Kings, for instance, and you're looking to rid yourself of Quinton Byfield for whatever unknown reason, you know, it's not because he sucks, that's for sure. You're looking at the Bruins roster going, well, Jake DeBrusk is a good starting point. What else are you going to give us? You don't exactly blow us over with draft picks. So Jake DeBrusk plus what? It's a starting point. Fine. But now you're probably talking, you know, a Lysell instead of DeBrusk because he's younger, more team control. And, you know, I don't see it happening because there's nothing very reasonable out there for him, at least until the trade deadline. At the trade deadline, someone's willing to throw in the extra draft pick because they want him for a playoff push. And at that point, you'll also have the ability to say, you know what? We can keep half of his cap hit because we're not going anywhere. And now you have Jake DeBrusk for a, you know, prorated $2 million cap hit. So give us more. Instead of the third round pick, give us the second round pick and we'll help you that way. So but again, last year we were talking about this team treading water at the trade deadline and lo and behold, they go out and they make all the best moves at the trade deadline. They probably win the trade deadline.
Right.
You know, you got to see how it plays out. I don't want to deal these guys right now. And the ones that I do want to deal, I'm not going to get anything back. So at least for now, if my options are waive them in training camp and hopefully they get picked up and I get nothing for them, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not much more I want to do to this roster other than figure out Frederick Swayman and Bergeron.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know. Mark, do you feel like there's much more that you want to do to the roster? I mean, as it's currently sitting,
I don't
have those three guys.
It's so hard because it's like we're coming to the end of August. I mean, July and, you know, August is right around the corner. I really want to see how all this recipe is going to look and taste after we get some training camp action. You know, I think that's, for me, that's the bar. It's like, how does everyone fit together? How is the chemistry working with some of these new players, with some players that have tenure? You know, I think that, for me, is where I'm going to really gauge on where people could fit and so on, and really give myself a structure of who could fit where and so on, you know? But right now, it's just like, sometimes I think, I look at the names and I'm just like, where could you fit? Like Boqvist, for me, to be honest with you, if he doesn't make the NHL, which he has to, if he doesn't, he's on a one-way deal. If he doesn't, and you know, the Bruins want to put him down in Providence, he's got to go through the waiver process. Yeah, but I also see a benefit of him being a Swedish hockey player along with a guy like Fabian Lysell. I think if he goes down to Providence and so on, I think Lysell would really, really thrive with having a countryman like him, a skilled guy. And basically, Boqvist for me would be the Vinny Lattery of last year for a player like Georgi Mikuloff and Fabian Lysell. So, but I see Boqvist's talent just a little higher in an NHL player and not somebody that you're just going to stash down in Providence, but either way, the organization can benefit from having a player like that.
Oh, yeah. And I think a guy who really needs to be starting to look over his shoulder for a roster spot would be A.J. Greer. Because he didn't come in blow doors off, but he wasn't terrible. But it's just like, you know, what was he, like a number six overall pick or something like that, if I remember correctly? He was a fairly high draft pick, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong. But
you could be right.
He was
second round 39th overall.
39th overall. Okay, so top 40. That's still not terrible.
Yeah. Right.
But he was another one that was looked at as, you know, maybe he could push for a third line role. And just last year, from what I saw, it was, no, you're barely pushing for a bench role. And, right. you know, he had a lot of dumb penalties. And, you know, that's where a guy like Jakub Lauko really caught my eye. He drew penalties. His analytics mm-hmm. for penalty, you know, it was off the charts. It was great. That's why I want to see him more, you know. And then you bring in a guy like Milan Lucic, who can play the physical game like Greer can, like Frederick can, like Lauko can. You know, he can help those three guys in particular, you know, fine-tune and nitpick their physical game so that they're not taking penalties, but they're still bringing the physicality. And I want to see how that plays out. I don't feel like there's more to bring in. Boquist is going to be interesting. I want to see the first round of cuts. Let's get into training camp. See who goes down first.
Yeah,
that's where I'm at.
And I think that the other thing about, I think you make such a good point, Chris, about these younger players, especially, I mean, AJ Greer, I think we've talked about it, about his favorite player growing up was Milan Lucic. Like, he saw this guy, and clearly I think you see it in the game that he plays. I'm not saying he has mastered it the way that Lucic has, but you sort of see that, you know, similar style, physicality. So I think that this is a good opportunity for AJ Greer to fight for a spot and earn a spot. You're right, looking over his shoulder the whole time, but I think that, and maybe I've always been a fan of AJ Greer. I like him a lot. I think he has a lot to offer. He just doesn't always know where to put it and how to put it in the right place. But I do think that in terms of, you know, moves going forward, I'm happy with where we're at. Honestly, this was better than I anticipated. Like, with the cap crunch we were in, the space that we had to work with, I really, and even like the talk of Don Sweeney, like, we're going to be looking at a different team. Like, we are, but also not as different as I thought it was going to be. You know what I mean? Like, sure, we lost the players we picked up at the trade deadline. We lost Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno, and those are significant. Don't get me wrong. They were a big part of the team. But at the same time, it's still more or less a lot of the players that I, you know, Ullmark, that would have been the one where I was like, you're right. This is a big shift. We're changing directions here. But we still have both of our goalies. I think we're going to still have Swayman, knock on wood, because I like him. But I don't know. I don't really see anything else happening. And in that case, it's been a winning off season for me. I've been happy with it. You know, yeah, the Tyler Bertuzzi thing sucks. Losing some of those players sucked. Oh, and I know we're going to talk about it, but Noshek, obviously, was another another player.
Jersey Devils. You know, it's a good pickup for them. We saw what he brought to our team.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at what we've already done, I go, where does he fit? You know, he's the bottom four center. He's a 4C, which is great. But when you pencil him in here at a 4C, even at 775 grand, first of all, that's money that you cannot spend elsewhere. And you still have more important pieces. I look at what we brought in and I go, wouldn't Morgan Geeky bring you the same thing? Maybe less the faceoff percentage? Like, it was great to have him at the dot, but you mm-hmm. cannot have one spot of your roster filled up for $1 million just to win a faceoff. You just can't. You have to have guys who can win faceoffs besides that one person. And it's a hell of a pickup for New Jersey. I think he's going to help that team way more than people think. I actually had him earmarked for Pittsburgh, to be honest with you. I thought Pittsburgh was the team that was going to give him a call and try and pencil him in and build depth down there. But, I mean, New Jersey is just as good, as if not better, landing spot for him. So,
yeah.
Also, guys like Noshek and fourth liners, they basically price themselves out, to be honest with mm-hmm. you. And that's not a knock on Noshek at all. It's just that's the philosophy that the Boston Bruins have been rolling with for years now is, you know, we saw it with Tim Schaller. We saw it with Noel Chari. You know, those fourth line players, they just, when they, you know, when they're up for new contracts, Don Sweeney and the Boston Bruins aren't paying $2, $3, $4, $5 million for players like that because they need those funds for the higher levels, your top six players that you need to constantly, you know, shuffle through and you know, basically have better careers. I'm not saying Doncic was a bad player. He's going to be missed in the faceoffs. I get it. His offensive game, penalty killing, and so on. You know, that's going to be missed, and obviously New Jersey got a decent player, but mm-hmm. For me, I kind of, like, roll with that players like him are a dime a dozen.
Yeah, I think the other I think Chris is right with the Morgan Geeky thing. I mean, yeah, I guess the face-off thing, Nosek proved himself as a very good, you know, winner of face-offs, but I also think that Geeky's face-off percentage is pretty good. He was pretty high up in terms of, I know, and that's also considering that he's sort of a, goes back and forth being a center and a wing or can play both roles pretty well. But also, I mean, like, looking at the defensive aspect that Nosek brought, I mean, Geeky had like the, I think it was like the seventh or eighth best plus minus on his team. Like, he does have the skills and abilities to fill that role. And I just don't think, I loved Nosek. I really did. And I think that what he gave was so underappreciated. And I think he's going to thrive in New Jersey the same way that I think he really delivered something we needed for us. But you're right. I think there was a price that just we couldn't afford to keep paying him for the role that he had. So it sucks because I liked him, but we've sort of lost a lot of players I really liked. I think on Twitter, people often use the term like emotional support fourth liner for people, like just a fourth liner that for some reason you really like and you really want them to be around, but you just can't pay for them. And so I think that it was necessary. I think it kind of happened later than I thought it was going to, and it was kind of unexpected when it popped up on my timeline. But yeah, I think it had to happen. It was going to happen, but I definitely think that he'll be missed in a lot of aspects, but I think that we have people who can step up and take that role on more.
And let's be honest, he wasn't exactly lighting the goal lamp on fire.
No, he was not.
So it's, but to your point, Mark, like this has been an organizational philosophy for a while, because before that it was the complete opposite. Peter Chiarelli, he was signing these guys to long-term deals, locking them up, no movement clauses. I mean, I just took a quick peek. Toronto has 13 no movement clauses on their roster. All right. 13 of them. And like there's like eight of them in their forward group. So it's like you could have that, but and they're cap constrained in themselves. They're over the cap already. They've got Samsonov going to arbitration, as we mentioned, you know, half an hour ago. So it just, they have to do something. At least we're not in a position where other GMs are down our throats, like able to take Jake DeBrusque for nothing, because we look at it and go, well, we have nothing. And mm-hmm. Yeah, people want to still shit all over the Taylor Hall deal, but the purpose of that deal was to gain the cap space so that you had the ability to go out and bargain shop and get Shattenkirk and Van Riems. That you literally have to look at that trade for Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno, which Nick Foligno, I think we can all pretty much agree, was not coming back next year just because we couldn't pay the guy.
Right.
But basically, you traded Taylor Hall and Nick Foligno for Morgan Geeky, James Van Riemsdyk, and Kevin Shattenkirk, mm-hmm. and a little extra to play around with. That's not a bad deal. When you had three holes, yeah, you created an extra one by dealing Taylor Hall, but again, Toporowski, Markulov, you know, those are longer shots, but they're there. And Van Riemsdyk can fill that spot. Is he the most exciting name to do it? No, but you know, you could also see a legitimate chance of, you know, Fabian Lysell coming into camp pushing for a spot, and then having to go, gee, damn, do we have to look at Jake DeBrusque back on the left side because Fabian Lysell's forcing us to? Like, those are good problems. There's good problems and bad problems. The Bruins' problems are pretty much all good. They eliminated the last bad problem they had, apparently back in February, and we didn't even know it.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, these are all good problems to have on paper. Nothing's forcing your hand one direction or the other until you get to the arbitration hearings for Swayman and Frederick. And even then, like, oh no, we might be forced to pay two really good players to play for us.
Yeah.
Oh no, what a big problem. Like, I don't get why people are so pissed off at what has happened this offseason or anything like that. I just, you know, we had Jay on from Big Bear last week, Mark, and I went back, I listened to that episode that he was talking about. I just sit there and I go, why are you so angry? I, like, Like, I just look at it and I go, they are good problems to have. What is there to be pissed off at? Mark, are you mad about anything that has happened in this offseason?
I'm not. I'm more intrigued on how everything comes together. That's the biggest thing for me. It's there's a lot of people out there that just that really don't see any of these moves as positives and something that we can move forward to try to replicate what happened last year. And to be honest with you, I don't want that to happen. I want to be the eighth seed. I want to be the Florida Panthers of last year, you know, and work your way up instead of being that number one team throughout the whole year and setting expectations of cup winning and get the dock boats ready kind of stuff. You know what I mean? So I'm more intrigued about how the puzzle pieces get put together, and I'm really looking forward to training camp.
Oh, my God, yeah.
We got a couple weeks left, guys. We still have a few more shows to do before training camp. But
I know.
We're going to have some fun with those ones. So, I mean, you know, I think next week will be a great week for us to really look into – well, actually, probably the week after, because then we'll know the outcomes from the arbitration hearings and stuff like that to really dive into the lineups. You know, and hopefully by then we have a Bergeron announcement or just a better general idea. But, you know, we got some fun stuff coming down the road. We'll have plenty of lineup talk because that's how we'll figure out some of the off season. But beyond that, you know, Mark, I know you put this one on the agenda. Final topic for this week. They're still looking for an assistant coach.
Yeah.
For John Gruden. I haven't heard anything about it. I know, Mark, you have your ear a little bit more to the ground, but have you heard anything?
I haven't really heard much at all. I mean, the only thing I'm hearing is possibly Ryan Mougenel might be that stopgap, the guy they're constantly interviewing because it's an internal move.
Yeah.
But also is that going to be something that's going to jive well with Jim Montgomery? Is he going to want to get his own guy that he has experience with, you know? So it's going to be interesting on how everything turns out. I know there's absolutely no rush on assistant coach until, you know, the first day of the season, but still, you want to – us Bruins fans and people that cover the team on a regular want to know who's coming in, figure out character, do some research, you know, see how – this fits and how it's going to work with the system that is implemented, you know, year by year. So I don't know who it could be. Obviously, Mark Savard's off the you know, he went to Calgary and so on, which is good for him. But I don't know. Should it be another player, a former Bruin? I don't know. You know, I would love, you know, one player I would love to see, not a player, but he was a player. I would love to see Mark Recchi in the Bruin, behind the bench. I think he would work really well, but I think he's working with somebody else right now.
I thought he was with like St. Louis and they let him go or something like Philly or something like that, but
might be Philly.
There's a number of former players out there that would be interesting to see, and all the silence tells me that one thing. Somebody's on vacation and they just don't care right now. You know, it's not imminent, it's not tomorrow. Don Sweeney is worried about arbitration hearings and the coaching staff's on vacation. Like, we'll deal with it in a couple weeks. It is what it is. Like, it's an assistant coach. It's not the head coach. Like, we'll be okay. And if they don't fill the role, that's okay too. You know, maybe that's something that Montgomery learned, is that that's one way he can take more burden on himself and make more of those coaching decisions on himself, because he delegated so much last year and that burned him. So who knows, maybe not even filling the role is what he's learned to do, but it'll be interesting. And, you know, I know not much is coming from it. So I don't know where else to go with that.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, we're just over the hour mark here on episode 339, Mark. Do you have anything else that you can think of other than just the dark days ahead to try and dig and dig and dig?
Yeah, I don't have nothing more. And it is the dog days, unfortunately. But We do, as a B&G company, do have some exciting stuff that we're talking about. All three of us are probably going to have 7 guests at one time this off season in the next couple weeks. And what we're going to do is we're going to probably do our centennial draft, which we pick all-time players for 100 years, you know, and I think we can have 10 people on the stream. So I think that would be fun to get some listeners and some friends involved and, you know, create some content that way. Grace and another awesome, awesome young lady are starting a podcast soon. So we're building our podcast network, and this is a great time to join our company if you want to do an audio version of a Bruins Hockey Talk, or you want to become a writer. Reach out to me or any one of us to get involved, because it is a lot of fun, and we do offer some really unique experiences for people that want to come in and really grind it out with us. You know, there's media credential opportunities in all three North American Pro Leagues that we're accepted at. So, we just got a lot of content coming out. I'm releasing a podcast that I was supposed to do yesterday, but I forgot and got a little drunk. But this is the new show that I'm releasing. It is B&G Providence Hockey Report, and I'm flying solo on this. So this will be done today. I know I promised so many people
That's the one you interviewed Brandon Bussey on, right?
Absolutely, Brandon.
I'm so excited.
Boston Bruins goaltender Brandon Bussey was my guest on this inaugural episode, and he was just a great, great guy to talk to. Really determined to get better every time. He's been really, really busting ass at Stop It goaltending here in Massachusetts. It was great to hear his story about, you know, being a young, a child, learning the game, and then progressively going up to the levels. And this kid is like basically knocking on the door of the NHL, and it was just a great, great, great conversation. And I'm going to have more players. I've reached out to Providence Bruins PR, and I'm going to get some more. I think I want to get Owen Pettersson. The next interview. So I want to hear his story about being, you know, a kid from, you know, Alberta, I believe, playing in the WHL for the Winnipeg Ice, which is no longer anymore.
Right.
But he had a career year last year. But I want to hear how he's working out to prepare himself for his first pro year in Providence, because he signed an American Hockey League only contract. So
yep.
I'm excited about that. I'm excited about getting a lot more players in Providence to, you know, get accustomed. Maybe in a couple of weeks I get Luke Toporowski. So we'll see what happens.
That'll be a fun one to watch as it progresses. That's the B&G Providence Hockey Report, part of Black and Gold Productions. We've also got Baked Bear with Jay Pike, who filled in last week admirably for Grace. Still an up-and-coming show, but getting better all the time, and he's doing a great job with it. I definitely highly recommend that one. We got Only Bruins with Boosie and Brett over there. That one is that show is a steam engine right now.
They had Barstool Marina Maria. I can't say her name.
Marina.
She
was on. But just as a show, it's picking up a lot of steam. It's an awesome listen, fun, laid back, a whole bunch, you know, definitely adult plus. So watch out for that. We got Something's Brewing with Nick Melanson and Mike Sullivan. Yep. Mike, I work with on What's Brewing, our live show that airs Mondays at 7 p.m. across all of our social platforms. You know, and I also work with Andrew Johnson for Puck Off, who also works with Ian Bonner and Thomas Nystrom for Short Shift Pod. Like, we've got, what is that, 10, 11 pods more coming.
Yeah.
All across. You know, one of the things that Andrew and I love doing with Puck Off is we cover the entire league. We're gonna dissect every team coming up in the coming weeks. So even if you're not just a Bruins fan, you're a hockey fan, or even as a Bruins fan, you want to learn more about these other teams, that's what we're trying to bring for you over there. So that's an awesome follow, and we're going to try and during the season do a couple short episodes every week just to kind of keep you appraised as to what's going on around the league, the big stories, what to look out for, that type of stuff. And then obviously Mark's got you covered with the up and coming Bruins. Like, you know, this downtime, this is when we're going to have fun with the Centennial teams. And, you know, I know we're going to have a fantasy hockey draft that we'll publicize somehow, whether it's all internal. And there's a lot of shit to do.
Oh yeah. Exciting. Exciting.
Definitely. So, but with that being said, I would just say follow us, follow any one of us, but at Blacking, at B&G Productions, will branch you off to everything else. And, you know, even if you follow one show, all the shows, you know, there's something out there for you. Mark, I know you want to mention the Patreon members before we head out.
Yes.
Any final thoughts before we get to those Patreon members and what they could win this month?
No, I'm good.
I'm excited. Yeah, excited for everything. Yeah, shameless plug. Go check out on my Twitter. Get ready for a good podcast with a couple of wonderful young women. So I'm excited to share that with all of you. So definitely check it out. And I can't wait to see what we're giving away soon, Mark.
Yes. So at the end of this month, which is actually next week, so next Sunday's recording, we will be giving away this hand-signed Sean Thornton Boston Bruins jersey, fully authenticated, great, great jersey, JSA, and this is from Boston Sports and Music memorabilia, the amazing Bruce Sullivan. So we'll be giving that away, so please go to patreon.com/blackandgoldhockeypodcast and donate $1 per episode to be eligible to win that jersey that we're giving away next week and monthly jerseys after that. So it helps us pay the bills here at the Black and Gold Production Sports Media Company, and we use half of your donation to buy more stuff for the upcoming months. So it's a really good program. People enjoy it, and I just love sending people black and gold stuff. Get rid of all that Patriots, Red Sox, and Celtics crap. You black and gold, black and gold, your room, your fan cave, whatever you want to do through and through. But you can do it here with some fantastic hand-signed items from the Boston Bruins alumni and current players. So I think I'm going to be getting a Charlie Coyle jersey coming up. I think I'm going to be getting probably another Adam McQuaid. Who knows? The sky's the limit, but the more Patreon members we get, the better these prizes will be.
Also, shout out, speaking of Sean Thornton, it's his birthday today. So
happy birthday, Sean
Thornton. Happy birthday, Sean Thornton.
We should have given it away today.
Yeah, I was when you pulled it out, I was like, wait a second, I just saw that it's his birthday. Yeah. So go Sean Thornton, classic Bruin. That's going to be awesome. Absolutely. I can't wait for somebody to get that next week.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. I'm going to be so happy for him. It's, you know, as someone who looks at a lot of memorabilia, I sit there and I go, man, I wish I could win some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, at the value that it is. No, maybe you don't win every month, but like, it's $1 per episode, you said, and we do what, 4, maybe 5 in a month?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, you're talking $5 a month. That is literally a Starbucks coffee right there.
It's a great
deal. Exactly.
And you get a Sean Thornton signed jersey. I just sit there and I go, holy shit. Like, I want it.
Right.
So, but I can't. So I'll be happy for those who can.
Somebody, yeah.
But with that said, you guys got any final thoughts for this week?
No, I need to go eat food and get rid of this hangover.
There
Mark,
you go.
To go get rid of, I hope everybody is handling hangovers well today and all through the week. Wishing everybody a wonderful week. Hopefully less rain for y'all.
Exactly.
Yeah, less humidity would be great. So, but with that, that'll wrap up episode 339 from us here at Black and Gold Productions. Again, huge thanks to the folks over at FanDuel for partnering with us. FanDuel.com/Boston. Get the welcome bonuses over there. And we'll have some fun with some bets coming up in the following year. So for now, we'll see you guys next week. Go Bees.
Go Bees.
Go Bees, baby. Yeah.
Thanks again for tuning in and supporting this week's episode of the Black and Gold Hockey Podcast. Please give the show a 5-star rating and write a review on listening platforms such as Apple Podcasts and Spotify Podcasts.
If you'd like to contact the show for advertising opportunities or to send us a question or topic idea we should be discussing, please send us an email to blackandgoldproductionsllc@gmail.com. Don't forget to share our program on your social media platforms with other hockey fans and follow our Twitter accounts at blackandgoldpod, at bngproductions, at blackandgold277, and at kevin_o'keefe89. Also, please don't forget to check out our official blackandgoldhockey.com website where we cover the Bruins organization from the NHL level down to the prospects worldwide. Peace out.